play's opening, and I'm always excited about this time of a season when everything is getting going again after the Christmas break, and we just spent time with what they're doing at Civic. But at Stage Left, they're opening at the Sweet Gum Bridge. It opens this Friday night at 7:30, Friday, Saturday at 7:30, Sunday at 2, and then the following two weekends. So in other words, it runs through the month. Tia Woolley, the managing director, or whatever fancy title you have.
Managing director works
of Stage Left Theater, and you've already done some really significant work there that I've been pleased to encounter.
Thank you. Earlier
this season. Talk about choosing this play at the Sweet. Now I'm losing the title.
At the Sweet Gum Bridge.
At the Sweet Gum Bridge. Yeah.
Well, as you know, Stage Left likes to touch on some hot topics, mm-hmm. and a lot this season tends to be a lot of historical topics, and this one really touches on the Native Americans, and it's basically. It leads up to how the Trail of Tears came mm-hmm. about. So it's just one of those topics that we hope to create conversations, shed light on things that most white men and women mm-hmm. don't actually know mm-hmm. about the history and how it came about.
So give or take 1820 or somewhere around there was when this was going on.
Yeah.
I think, something like that when Andrew Jackson was notorious.
Yes.
We might say.
Sharp knife.
And we'll talk later about how he does or doesn't figure into this play, but talk about the main character, Pushmataha.
Pushmataha is the glorious chief of the Choctaw.
This is history that you're. This is a real person. A historical person.
Yes, it is. You can Google him mm-hmm. on. And find all kinds of pictures mm-hmm. and stuffs too. So, the playwright Wallace Tucker wanted to write. He is a Choctaw Native American, so he is very familiar with the topic. Pushmataha is someone that did interact and basically struck a deal with Andrew Jackson to help him with his fight against the other Native Americans during that time.
So already there's a lot of complexity brought into this story, isn't there?
Yes, yes. Yeah. And we see, probably Eric can talk a little bit more about that. He plays mm-hmm. the role of a Pushmataha mm-hmm. As far as what his role is in this show, because we open the show with a Pushmataha dying. So mm-hmm. it's a series of what led up to that and how he is explaining to himself what his role was in all of this.
Well, let's actually start with the scene that you brought in, because I think it sets up a lot of the tension, historical tension of what's going on. This is between Pushmataha, the Native American chief, and the very effective Native American chief, and a white man named John Mack. John Mack, played by Stephen Schneidmiller, and Pushmataha, played by Eric Anderson.
A chukma, John Mack.
Oh, hello, Push. I didn't hear you come in. Can I do for you?
We want our money, John Mack.
Your money? What money?
The money from the land we sold you.
You didn't sell it to me, Push. You sold it to the United States government.
John Mack has planted big cotton fields on that land.
Well, much of the land is mine now. You're right about that. It was given to me as payment in my service in the war.
We did not receive payment for our service in the war. Fancy coat, maybe, but no money.
You will. These things take time.
There has been time. A lot of time. Years.
I'll bring the matter up with the commissioner.
While you're at it, bring up the matter of the money for the land we sold. As I recall, it was to be paid through you, John Mack.
Yes, I believe you're right. Let me check my records. Yes, here we are. Now, let me see what it says. Yes, I remember. You people have been paid for that land, Brother Push.
We have not.
You must have forgotten.
Push does not forget. John Mack knows that.
Yes, of course. Well, you see, it was a little complicated. Maybe I didn't explain it to you carefully enough.
Explain it to me now.
Well, it was decided that the payment would be in merchandise.
That is correct.
Yes. $10,000 worth on closing the deal.
That is right. Well, we did not receive it.
Well, that's just the point. You did.
We did not.
You see, a lot of supplies were needed to fight the war, and to feed your women who came to be with you. It costs a lot of money to feed an army, Push.
Our women brought food for themselves and food for us.
Well, perhaps the quartermaster made a mistake.
You were quartermaster, John Mack.
No, not me. I mean the big quartermaster, back in Washington. I'll write him a letter. We'll see that you get any merchandise coming to you. Don't worry, my old friend.
Wow, there's a whole lot of the whole tension of the whole experience for hundreds of years built right into there. Eric Anderson as Pushmataha is that sounds like a really compelling role that you're doing here.
It's been an experience.
Yeah,
I'm humbled and honored to be able to be in this kind of a role.
Yeah, and what did you know of this history before you took on this play?
I vaguely had an idea of it. I know that historically the Choctaw, the Chickasaw, the Cherokee fought on the side of the Americans during the War of 1812. And that some of the other, of course, figures, Tecumseh and some of certain bands of the Cree fought with the British. And I think that I didn't really have any in-depth understanding of how the dynamics worked out by any stretch, but I had a general idea of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then Steve, in the role of John Mack, I guess your purpose in this play is to represent the devious white man?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, as far as when people go to see this, I mean, I hope to, you know, to demonstrate something that's a little more layered and then, you know, you start peeling away as time goes on. I mean, in this play, Push and John Mack are friends, and so there is that kind of tension that's throughout the play. When I read the script, I was really happy to take on the role of John Mack because it seemed like he had some, you know, meat to him, because as far as what his kind of what maybe seemed to be his intentions in the beginning, and then, you know, as the story unfolds, you know, you start to kind of get, you know, a little deeper and kind of understand more really what's going on, and but really John Mack is out of, you know, most of the characters is a fictitious character, but it's interesting is that there's an actual signature on some sort of business document that was signed J. McKenzie. Mm-hmm. So that's the only kind of historical background. So I mean, John Mack does represent that the white traders that were interacting with the Choctaws and the various native tribes and
I think he kind of epitomized the overall feeling that, you know, yeah, he was the one that was supposed to pay the Choctaws and probably the other Native American tribes for their land and their stuff and their service and everything. And he ended up taking it for himself. Mm-hmm. So, and that, you know, probably not just a single figure in history, but a general overall historical happening.
I think it's also important to note that John Mack kind of gets saddled with the kind of the stereotypical idea of Western life versus Native life, and sort of how that exists, being that, I mean, by and large, many tribes had an understanding of tribal sort of continuity. What was there for the tribe. And there was a much more sort of open and understanding, look, we're neighbors, we're friends, this is all just available, versus the I'm here to get as much as I can for myself to make myself as successful and that sort of thing. And it was just kind of, it almost speaks to the different cultures and how, like, why those cultures did not coexist, why they could not, you know, exist contemporaneously with one another.
Mm-hmm.
Well, speaking of the coexist, how do you feel about what Stephen just said a minute ago about the John Mack and Push being friends? Would you have described the relationship as friends?
I can't stand Stephen. I don't talk to him. I actually think that Push and John Mack, at least as far as this story goes, really are good, good friends. And I think that if they, you know, there's some events that really kind of speak to the establishment of that friendship earlier in the story than the scene we just did. But I feel like the scenes, the relationship wouldn't make any difference if they weren't friends. Like, it wouldn't have the gravitas, or it wouldn't have any value if they didn't have a legitimate friendship to put on the line.
I mean, I guess in some ways, I mean, when I was reading this, I mean, I felt that as far as just relationships, it just almost kind of, for an American piece, you know, it was felt very Shakespearean with characters that had, you know, have layers, and you know, you get to, you know, taste more of the tragedy, you know, when there's, you know, friends that that start to kind of, you know, kind of drift apart, due to different cultures.
Yeah, and situations and all these things. Eric, you're Native American.
Yes,
and this play was written by a Native American, right?
Yes.
And so, to what extent does it ring true? 100%, mostly true to your feelings and experiences.
It does and it doesn't. I mean, in some ways, this. My Native experience, I grew up around the Spokane area. Mm-hmm. And I was raised through the Title IX program to know I had a Choctaw mentor growing up. Mm-hmm. That had a huge impact on my life, just kind of understanding cultural and sort of different things. So I guess on the one hand, it's one of those, like, I guess this for me personally is something that I've had to internalize, my understanding of this is how a tribe should live, and trying to pass those values on to my family, and at the same time explain nobody outside of our home is going to believe this. Nobody outside, you know, you bring in your friends, you create tribe, and, you know, you'll know who's a part of your tribe and who's not. And just being able to recognize and value that, rather than just, you know, having X number of friends on Facebook or, you know, whatnot. Just understanding that the value of tribe is more in how you can be there for them in those moments when everything's on the line, you know. Mm-hmm. And because there are times when everything is on the line for you, and those who are in your tribe will come aside you at those times.
Mm-hmm. And the script does stick true. I mean, if you're... The story itself is the unification between the different, you know, who is your tribe? And I think in this story, Push kind of is siding a little bit more with the white man, it seems.
I think Push is also looking to his people and trying. I mean, he's really got this, he's stretching to kind of come to realize that he has to come to realize, no matter how close or deep a friendship, no matter how much he wants these people to be a part of his tribe, they're just not. And I think the heartbreaking realization of that for him is just, okay, well, then I'm going to do everything I can to see to it that the tribe does continue. I'm not going to fault these people for how they were raised. I'm going to, you know, and I'm going to do everything I can to maintain and see if I can strengthen and open that up to the future. But I also need to look after my people and their well-being.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a real tricky balance.
Yeah. You've already beautifully answered the question, so I'm just going to kind of give it as a paraphrase and you can comment on it, but the extent to which this play is or isn't about race and culture versus the extent to which this play is about humans and the human condition. Uh-huh. And it's kind of what you've said, but you want to say anything further about that?
You said it better than I did. I don't even remember what I said.
Every scene, you know, is I mean, I think, you know, a really good play is the thing that wrestles with the topic of, like, the human condition, and it's You know, I don't know where I'm going with this. So
well, I think it's each of the scenes is because basically a Pushamataha has died and needs to cross a sweet gum bridge in order to reach his heaven. Mm-hmm. And he encounters Hushuqua, who is the guardian of the bridge. And Hushuqua wants a Pushamataha to answer to his actions and self-evaluate himself and decide whether or not he is worthy to cross the Sweet Gum Bridge. And so we're going back to these moments that are really key to his negotiations with the white man versus the Native Americans and the entire process that's leading up to his death. He interacts with Andrew Jackson, with John Mack, with he's got Mountain, you know, and the conflicts with the white people versus the other chiefs of the surrounding Indian nations. Okay. So we have those interactions throughout the entire show.
Yeah. Right now we're hearing from Tia Woolley, the managing director of Stage Left, and earlier Eric Anderson, who plays Pushamataha, and then Steve Snidemiller, who plays John Mack. Not in the room, unfortunately, because people do have day jobs and stuff. David Bullis, your director, also comes from his own multicultural, multiracial experience. Talk about his involvement as your director here.
Well, I'll start with that because it started with our very first production meeting. He wanted to be true to the ethnicity of the production and very sensitive to the cultural aspects of the Native Americans. We do have a full Native American cast for all the roles that call for Native American, which we're very proud of here in Spokane. It wasn't an easy task, and he's very proud of that. His wife, Anastasia, is his stage manager, so they're able to collaborate and make sure we stay true to that.
Yeah. Nice.
He was the guy who was yelling at us all the time, right?
Yeah. He doesn't yell. So. He's such a nice guy. He's just absolutely a wonderful man.
Yeah. That's.
If you're listening to this, all the bad things that were said were by Steve.
At the Sweet Gum Bridge, opening at Stage Left this Friday. What a treat. Thank you all for coming in.
Thank you, Vern.
Thank you for having us.